This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Phoebe Judge in for Frank Stacio. This morning, Governor Pat McCrory unveiled his budget plan. The governor highlighted his proposed increase for starting teacher pay from $30,800 to $35,000. The architect of the state's budget is Lee Roberts. Formerly a banker, Roberts took over as head of the budget office last fall after Art Pope stepped down. Lee Roberts joins me now. Welcome to the State of Things.
Thank you, Phoebe. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for doing this. So what were the biggest priorities for this budget?
Well, I think the budget, as the governor made clear, is a conservative budget. It's a disciplined budget. It focuses on careers and on jobs and on making government more efficient and more accountable. We're trying to help those who can't help themselves and encouraging those who can. And we have a priority to protect people who help keep North Carolina safe.
And certainly a lot of this budget is devoted to education. How does the budget address educational spending?
Well, that's right. And I think it's important for people to know that between this budget and the last budget, when you look at the 4 years of Governor McCrory's first term, we will have increased spending on teacher salaries, K-12 teacher salaries, by over $1 billion in new funding. So we're bringing all teachers to a minimum of $35,000. That promise was made in the last session, and we're moving teachers along the salary schedule, as well as putting a program in to help identify highly effective teachers and reward them accordingly.
This was the first year that the budget did not have continuation spending. What was that change?
Well, at the risk of making some of your drivers who are out there, listeners driving around there in this wet weather, fall asleep.
No, we'll keep it simple.
The continuation spending, it just means that increases in some costs that the government must fund are not automatically included in the budget. And I think that's a good thing for transparency. Most of our new money does go to those increases. So about 76% of the new money in the budget, the incremental revenues, goes to funding Medicaid, to funding increases in enrollment in K-12 and the UNC system, and to funding the teacher pay plan that I just mentioned. In previous years, some of those increases would have just been incorporated into the base budget.
So we've discussed a little bit about what this is going to do for K-12 education and those teachers, but what else will the budget kind of do for higher education?
Higher education is obviously a priority. The University of North Carolina has been integral to our success and prosperity literally since colonial times, and it's going to be vital to our competitiveness going forward. This budget continues to invest in the UNC system and the community college system. We spend more of our taxpayer revenues as a percentage on higher education in North Carolina than any other state in the country. And our in-state tuition is the third lowest in the country. So that's a colossal investment made by North Carolina taxpayers in our system of higher education, and that will continue in this budget. The governor mentioned his $8 million in funding in each year of the two-year budget cycle for the ECU Medical School in Greenville. There's a series of appropriations outlined for commercializing university technology, helping take technologies that come out of universities that are promising business opportunities and helping to fund and support those, as well as identifying entrepreneurial talent in the universities and supporting them.
We lead right now, but will we after this budget?
It's always hard to say how we will compare to other states because they're not standing still. But we believe that we will, yes. The overall change in university funding after this budget for the UNC system, they will be funded at about 0.1% less than they were funded the previous year.
One thing that we should make note of, though, is that this budget proposal caps the funding for private fundraising on campuses to $1 million, which will affect 12 of the 17 campuses. Doesn't that potentially harm a university's ability to raise their own funds and kind of thereby further cut the higher ed budget?
What we've said is that the state can support a private fundraising effort up to $1 million. if you're spending more than $1 million in taxpayer money on your private fundraising efforts, then your private fundraising efforts should pay the cost above $1 million. So we don't think that will hurt the universities unduly. Obviously, there are five campuses who spend less than $1 million. That's why it only affects 12 of the 17 campuses. And that's no different than not only every other private university in the state, but every other nonprofit organization in the state. Every church, every United Way has to pay for its own fundraising efforts out of the money that it raises. We're not asking the universities to do that. We're just asking them to not spend more than $1 million in taxpayer money.
This budget includes experience step raises for state employees, but it doesn't include across-the-board raises. Why?
Well, that's right, and it's for two reasons. One is that we're still in an era of limited availability, and I think most voters would like to see us continue to be as prudent and conservative and disciplined in our budgeting as we can be. And without spending money that we don't have, we can't give an across-the-board pay increase. But I'd also say that there's a strategic reason for doing that, which is with limited dollars, those should be focused on the areas where we have the most difficulty hiring, retaining, and motivating employees. Those are areas like IT, engineering, accounting, where the state really has difficulty keeping good people, and those are obviously critical need fields. So let's put our dollars towards those critical needs fields beyond what we're spending already. Keep in mind that about $3 billion in our budget goes to the state health plan and the retirement system for state employees. About 40,000 employees get longevity pay, and then other employees, including the teachers, the corrections officers, and the highway patrol will see an increase in this budget.
Chief Justice Mark Martin asked for $30 million for the court system. This budget proposal gives $16 million. Are you concerned, as we've heard from a number of justices around the state, about the ability of the judicial system to function without the full request funded?
So we've been in close conversations with the Chief Justice, and we take the funding of the court system very seriously. It's obviously a core function of government. It's been underfunded for years, and we've discussed with them the $16 million funding in each year of the two-year budget, and that can help with a whole series of costs, including costs associated with jurors and witnesses, interpreters, expert witnesses for prosecutors, equipment maintenance. The part that they still need to address and that we hope to address through our proposed infrastructure bond is a technology overhaul. And that's a capital expenditure. The reason it hasn't been done in previous annual budgets is it's just an awful lot of money to try and fund in a given year. And that's why it's appropriate for bond financing. That's technology that will be used for 10 or 15 years or more.
But we don't actually know when that might come online.
We'll be proposing the bond legislation shortly after we introduce the budget, and I think there's significant interest from the General Assembly in moving that legislation through.
What does this budget include in terms of Medicaid? Obviously, this was another large section of the budget. What did the governor say about it?
So Medicaid is one of the most important pieces of our budget. It's about 18% of our total funding, and it's non-discretionary, meaning that the state has to fund every eligible Medicaid recipient. And so that's an enormous commitment in funding. Medicaid and mental health together account for about 86% of the budget of Health and Human Services. And what we've done with Medicaid, we'll be spending $7.8 billion in Medicaid over the two-year period. That provides health care coverage to more than 1.8 million North Carolinians.
Finally, I'd like to speak, this is what the governor is proposing, but it doesn't actually mean that this is the end of the debate. This will now go to the House and the Senate. Do you have a sense about how legislators will respond to this budget?
We've been in very close dialogue with our colleagues in the General Assembly, and we look forward to working with them through the process to focus on the governor's priorities, to reflect their concerns, and we're optimistic and confident that we'll have a very constructive session.
Do you have any ideas about any of the topics that might you might have to go back and forth on a little bit? I know there are certain things that the governor and the budget is sticking out, like pay for correctional officers and mental health.
I think there's always going to be areas of disagreement, but if we've done our jobs properly, then nobody in the General Assembly should be surprised by what we're proposing. And we believe that there's a lot of that we're largely on the same page with the General Assembly about the key priorities outlined in this budget.
Well, I want to thank you very much for speaking with me.
Phoebe, thank you very much for having me.
Lee Roberts is a state budget director. We'll have more information about the budget on our website, WUNC.org. Just ahead, research on split brains. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.